If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to StephanieMiller.com to find out how.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. I've been waiting all week to say this. Good morning, Congressman Adam Schiff, who is my personal congressman on the House Intelligence Committee. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. It's great to be with you.
Great to be with you, too. You were terrific on Meet the Press. I see that Kellyanne Conway tweeted at you. Adam Schiff, I think you're a hyper-partisan against POTUS with no evidence of hack effect on election outcome and no idea what briefings he receives. And you tweeted back, after 10 years of classified briefs, I have a pretty good idea. This is about an attack on our democracy by Russia. Is McCain also hyper-partisan? Congressman, this is an incredible moment in our history, is it not?
It is incredible. There are actually a lot of words you can use to describe it. That's certainly one of them. I find some of the conduct of the president-elect just staggering, and the appointments he's making beyond shocking. It's a real tear-down-the-house crowd, and it spells for really tough years for the country.
Well, Congressman, I agree with people that, you know, have said this is an act of war. It is a political 9/11, and I think you know, because we know each other, that, you know, my dad ran with Goldwater, and many people have brought up it was Goldwater that went to the White House and said to Nixon, it's time to go. I mean, this is not just a story. This is a story about how Mitch McConnell's and others put party before country, isn't it?
Well, you know, unfortunately, I think he's done that quite frequently and certainly did from the beginning of the Obama administration, when he decided they, at all costs, they would make him unsuccessful and therefore the country unsuccessful. When he left the Supreme Court vacancy open for a year as a way to motivate his base to turn out in the election, caring nothing about the highest court in the land. None of these things were in the interest of the country, and I think have done us real damage. And now we have a crowd coming in with a nominee to be Secretary of Energy who wanted to do away with the Energy Department, a nominee to be head of the EPA who's been suing the EPA, and I'm sure would like to see the EPA greatly diminished, if not eliminate altogether, and this is the crowd he's bringing with him.
Right. Congressman, I don't know if you saw this. This is a former CIA agent on CNN, I believe it was yesterday. Just take a listen.
When a foreign country interferes in your election and the outcome is in doubt in the legitimacy of the government, I don't know how it worked constitutionally. I'm not a lawyer, constitutional lawyer, but I'm deeply disturbed by the fact that the Russians interfered, and I would like to see the evidence, because if the evidence is there, I don't see any other way than to vote again. I mean, as an American citizen.
I just think that people underestimate the outrage. I've certainly heard from millions of Americans, Congressman, that we're allowing a Russian dictator to choose our president. I mean, I know you're obviously a lawyer, a former federal prosecutor. I just don't understand how we can let this stand, I guess.
Well, I've been really amazed at how many people, both before the election, as I was traveling around the country as a surrogate for Secretary Clinton, told me that they were losing sleep, that they couldn't eat, that they were so worried about the outcome of the election potentially. And now, since the election, how many people have described just how deeply personally this has impacted them. The Russian interference is just grotesque and alarming, and something that I was doing my very best to raise the alarm bells about before the election, when it was very clear that the Russians had meddled, and when the highest intelligence official in the country, the Director of National Intelligence, Clapper, in a rare public statement acknowledged the Russians were interfering. And frankly, it drove me crazy that often when the press would report these hacked emails from the Democratic Party or others, they often failed to even mention the fact that these had been hacked by Russia, that these were being basically published during the election because Russia wanted to interfere and manipulate voters. And it's just really staggering, and we need to get fully to the bottom of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, Congressman, I think that, you know, that's why more and more electors are demanding to see this same intelligence that you've seen. I'm sure you've read the whole New York Times piece. I mean, it really is stunning. It really is our generation's Watergate, right? I mean, it's, you know, here we are again with the DNC, but this is in the era of cyber warfare. And you said yesterday the reason this Russian campaign has been so successful is you have a rare specter of a presidential candidate, now president-elect, willing to give the Russians cover. This is effective because the Russians can put on their TV Russia Today and their Sputnik that the president-elect of the United States doesn't believe they were involved. That is so extraordinarily beneficial to Russian propaganda. At what point does this border on treason? I mean, Congressman, if we prove definitively collusion with the Trump campaign, where do we go from there as a country?
Well, I think the bottom line is we need to get fully to the bottom of what the Russians did, how they did it, what their motives were. We know a lot already, but there's still a lot we don't know. It's why I've been pushing for a joint congressional investigation like we did after 9/11. I have a couple of colleagues, Elijah Cummings and Eric Swalwell, who are pushing for an actual 9/11 commission. But we need to make this completely thorough, objective, nonpartisan. The country needs to know. It's a way to help inoculate ourselves against Russian meddling, but it's also a way to hold the Russians accountable and determine and publish the facts for the American people and declassify as much of this as possible.
Congressman Schiff, you said on Meet the Press, and I agree with you, what a big fan I am of the president, but you said they made a mistake. I mean, the White House made a mistake here, and I think that... this is what's really stunning, I guess, in an effort to be decent, which, the Republicans showed no such compunction and not, politicize this. And I guess, according to the New York Times, out of fear that, a candidate that was already calling the election rigged was going to say, was going to try to delegitimize Hillary, who they assumed was going to win. But so now here we are, right? James Comey showed no such compunction about not politicizing this right before the election, right, based on nothing, something that turned out to be nothing again. And went forward with this, right? I mean, and sat on this, the Russian story.
You're absolutely right. I was urging, along with Senator Feinstein, the administration weeks before they did to make public attribution to tell the American people what was going on. I think was a reluctance, both for the reason you mentioned that they didn't want to be seen as playing into Russian hands by sowing further doubt about the election, but also I think they didn't want to be perceived as putting their hand on the scales during the election. By calling out the Russians on what they were doing, that was of benefit to one candidate and hurting another. But this was an information the American public deserved to know, really needed to know, that a foreign power was trying to meddle in their affairs. And I also was urging the administration to impose sanctions, to work with our allies, to raise the cost, to deter the Russians further, something that we still haven't done, something that we still desperately need to do. Otherwise, we're going to see a lot more of this.
Congressman Schiff, I imagine the moves he's made since the election have only deepened your suspicions. You tweeted, "How will a friend of Putin and recipient of one of the Kremlin's highest honors fight to maintain sanctions on Russia over its invasion of the Ukraine?" Well, first of all, you have a president-elect that said on TV, "Oh, you have to understand, he's not going into the Ukraine," and had to have a reporter say, "He already did."
He's already there.
I mean, so you have a president that knows nothing, and president-elect that knows nothing and doesn't even want to know. Right. And you tweeted, if Trump was as smart as he claims to be, he'd understand how little he knows and how much he'll come to depend on the intelligence community. I mean, how terrifying is it to have a potential commander in chief that is not taking intelligence briefings?
Well, it's very terrifying. And I get briefed multiple times a week. And every time I do, and even when I'm briefed on a daily basis, I'm always learning new things. Things are always changing. It's not like you can say, call me when something happens. You need to really be up on events all the time. But as scary as it is to have a president-elect who doesn't think that's of much value, it's even more frightening to me, frankly, when the president is willing to disregard the good intelligence that he gets because it doesn't suit him. Two of the most disturbing things that have happened since the election are the fact that the president-elect of the United States invented 2 million people or more illegal immigrants voting to explain why he didn't win the popular vote. And I think that's very similar to the other thing that really disturbed me, which is he's willing to reject the overwhelming consensus of the intelligence community that the Russians hacked our institutions because that that conflicts with his preferred version of events. So here's a president-elect who is not growing with the office, who shows no signs of growing with the office. He's going to be the same in office as he was during the campaign and is right now, someone who will disregard the facts, someone who will make up the facts when it suits him. And there's going to come a time when we have a crisis, a national security crisis, where he's going to have to come before the country And we're going to want to, we're going to need to believe our commander-in-chief, and he's making that very, very hard.
Well, I can't even imagine how terrifying it is, I mean, for most of us, but for someone like you that's on the House, the top Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, if you're America's enemies right now, you're like, oh, we have a guy that's not going to listen to American intelligence. I mean, it's almost inviting attack, isn't it? I mean, it is terrifying.
It certainly, among other things, takes any restraint off when it comes to cyber attacks, because President-elect has said in order to undercut the intelligence agency conclusion that the Russians hacked, the President-elect is saying you really can't tell. People can hide their hand too. It could be Russia, it could be China, it could be this 400-pound guy in New Jersey. When the Russians hack again, when they interfere again, if Trump were ever to call them out, let's say the Russians hacked Germany in the German elections, and we and the Germans call them out, the Russians can simply say, no, the president has already admitted there's no way to tell who's involved in hacking. Are these the same intelligence agencies the president earlier admitted were wrong about us?
And let's not forget, we still haven't seen his taxes, don't know what financial ties he has to Russia. We don't know. I mean, and like you say, all of these moves are more about making Russia great again than they are about making America great again. I mean, as you've seen, he's already said he's not going to leave, you know, his kids are going to run his business, which is not a blind trust of any kind. Isn't it on day one a violation of the Emoluments Clause, these conflicts of interest?
You know, in fact, we're having a hearing on this very subject today that Elijah Cummings has organized. And one of my former law professors, Larry Tribe, along with two other professors, are putting together, a seminal piece on what the Emoluments Clause means and what it means in the context of Donald Trump's family investments. So we're going to have a hearing on that very topic today. And this is one of the things that's going to be important for us to do in the minority. This is a minority hearing that we're conducting because we don't have the support of the majority in doing it, and obviously may not have their support going forward. But we need to shine a spotlight on whatever this administration does. We need to be fierce guardians of the constitutional rights of the American people. And, you know, we do have power in the minority. We're going to have to exercise it strenuously because I think everything we care about is very much at risk, including the health care of over 20 million Americans.
Yeah. I mean, Congressman, I think that, you know, it's interesting. I know that, you know, you was obviously part of, you know, the Democratic establishment. I understand that, you know, people like Kellyanne Conway are always going to go, oh, this is just sore losers. It's about, you know, relitigating the election. Well, I got to tell you, there's millions of people that feel we should relitigate the election. I mean, I know that you can't say that, but as you know, there's millions of people that have asked the electors to stop us from this, and I just don't know what we do if we prove impeachable offenses before the electors vote or the inauguration. What do we do? We've never been here as a country.
Well, let's hope it doesn't come to that. You know, we're just going to have to vigilantly hold this president accountable, make sure that the new administration operates as damaging as it is within constitutional limits. It's going to be a real test of our Constitution. And more than that, we're going to have to call them out every time they just make stuff up, which is going to be all the time. And we're going to require, frankly, folks like yourself and other members of the media to really be critical and scrutinize and hold their feet to the fire. I was elected with Mike Pence. He's a classmate of mine coming into the Congress. And to watch him the other day try to justify Donald Trump saying millions of illegal immigrants voted was so painful. And, you know, I was glad that Jake Tapper, you know, pressed him because, or actually it was Stephanopoulos. And he was saying, well, I think it's refreshing that the president-elect speaks his mind. And sure. Stephanopoulos said, well, what's refreshing about making things up? But this is where we are. That whole exchange I had with Kellyanne Conway came because she said that when I was critical of the president-elect for not taking these briefings, she said, well, I don't have a security clearance. How would I know it's in the briefings? To which I replied, you know, why don't you Google Gang of Eight? I mean, it's astounding how cavalierly these top Trump administration people, including Trump himself, are willing to play loose with the facts or simply make stuff up.
Yeah, it is.
But he says he's like a smart person.
Not actually.
He's almost. Yeah. You know who is a smart person? Adam Schiff, who went to Stanford and Harvard Law School. And here's a fun fact I didn't know. His name is Adam and his wife's name is Eve. That is so fantastic.
Yeah, well, she only went out with me as a curiosity.
I just thought it'd be fun. And then you decided to stick with it.
Then you ran out of fig leaves.
Congressman,
that's what happens when you just double down on that original mistake.
Yeah. Congressman, I got to hope that there is a, you know, a Barry Goldwater of this Republican Party. I got to tell you, I have a sense that, you know, at some point, even Republicans are going to find a sense of patriotism and tell him it's time to go. I mean, I'm not where you are. Like, oh, we have to. I am wearing a Not My President t-shirt, Congressman. I'm sorry.
Well, you know,
and I'm wearing one every day.
Here's what may happen. Just this week, he's attacked a couple major companies over Air Force One, over the Joint Strike Fighter, and all the skepticism of the cost or whatever, that's one thing. But to attempt to, you know, coerce these companies by browbeating them on Twitter and making their stock prices tumble, you know, how long is the business community going to take this kind of you know, picking winners and losers? They criticized Obama all the time for picking winners and losers when he wasn't.
Yeah.
He was really quite disciplined. You may very well have a confluence of the business community rising up, the John McCain's of the world who recognize that Russia is not our friend, joining hands, with a lot of people who are the subject of, the false statements of the president-elect and the
he's a bully, just like his best friend, Putin. Okay, had to get that in. All right, Congressman, thanks for taking time for us at such an important time. I think we're going to have to talk again as we try to get through this our long national nightmare. But anyway, thanks so much for your time, Congressman.
Okay, thanks.
Talk to you again soon. All right, there he goes.
They're Adam and Eve. I didn't know
Adam
that.
And Eve. That's cute. Come on.